Now, when you read the Gospels, one of the things I've been encouraging is that you look to see what Jesus did. That's all in there as instructions to us for what we can do and ought to do. Have you ever noticed that Jesus was in the habit of being grateful? He was in this habit. He was always giving thanks. He was grateful when the Holy Spirit did miracles through him. He was always praising the Father. He always had this added, he was grateful when he taught his disciples about communion. He gave thanks. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he stops before he does anything else and he's praying out loud before the crowds, "Father, I thank you. I praise you." An attitude of gratitude. Listen to Matthew 15, 36. This is the feeding of the 5,000. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks. Did you notice that? I don't know if you're like me, but you know, we pray before a meal. You know, sometimes I fall out of that habit, and sometimes I move back towards it. But it can become perfunctory, right? It can become like rote. It can become like it's just what you do. You bow your head, you pray, and your mind's off somewhere else. And so when we read something like, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish after giving thanks, we go, okay, they're setting the scene. Here's just some little tidbits of information. We're going to get to the good stuff now. I think that is the good stuff. Amen. I think it's the good stuff. Yeah. And after giving thanks, he took them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and you know the rest of the story. After giving thanks, Matthew's gospel, Jesus instituting communion, a practice we just participated in, along with millions of other Christians on this Sunday across the globe for 2,000 years. This was instituted, and we do it to this day. And it says there, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks. After he took a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. So after giving thanks again and giving thanks, Jesus had in his very practice and demeanor an attitude of gratitude. He would stop and give glory to God and praise to God and worship to God and thanksgiving to God. See, being grateful, gratitude, giving thanks, praising God, it's all over the Bible. It's a major theme in the Bible. We review on Thanksgiving many scriptures about giving thanks. That's something we've done now for 20 years on some level, and we're reminded of the scriptures that encourage our hearts. Psalm 92 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It's good. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. You know, there's some people that have a practice, there's a tradition in Christianity where people will greet each other and they'll say, morning glory. And they mean God's glory in the morning. Morning glory, and then in the evening they'll say evening graces to one another, and they'll say that back to one another. After this Psalm 30 verse 11, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So here's a thanksgiving, because what was sad and hard and difficult has now become dancing and gladness. Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You know, we need to remind ourselves of this, because there's a drumbeat in our culture and in our world. There's an anti-God sentiment out there that is promoted, and one of the things is God is not good. No, God is good. God is good all the time. And we need to remind ourselves of that, and we need to pronounce that and live in that. Psalm 57, verse 7 and following. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Where? Among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. This is not just a private habit. This is something I'm going to do in front of other people. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. You notice the two things over and over again, if you read the scriptures, that people are grateful for. They're grateful for the truth that God gives us, and they're grateful for the love. Love and truth are foundation stones to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You take one or the other out, and the gospel collapses. See, Jesus is the cornerstone. Love and truth are more foundation stones to this reality of what God wants us to live in. And this is very important because we live in a world of lies and negativity and hate. And we are supposed to not be those things. We who follow Christ, we're called to live out of those things and in love and in truth. Psalm 100, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not responsible for being, you know, I got created. I didn't make this mess. I was born into it. But he takes the mess and he makes us sing praises. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Listen, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You see, these are from the Psalms, and the Psalms were what was memorized first. They were they're sing-songy phrases that are easy to remember in the Hebrew. And I imagine Jesus, along with the myriads of people who would go up the long paths, winding up the hill in Zion to Jerusalem, to the temple, they would sing these psalms and they would sing these phrases. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Psalm 118. On and on. This theme of thanksgiving goes in the Bible on and on. So this holiday, this Thanksgiving holiday, might be one of the most challenging times in your year. Right? I mean, it may be. Why? Because we now, more than ever, are people that are wondering, I don't mean us in this room, but I mean as a nation, what are we supposed to be grateful for? Why being grateful? I mean, I've had friends that have died from COVID. How about you? There's been the pandemic and the social distancing and the lockdown and then... Everybody seems to have an opinion about how to do everything about this. I know I do. I've been accused of having an opinion, all right, about all of this. And we're just really at each other's throats at times. What am I supposed to be grateful for? Thanksgiving for what? Some are thinking this year. Is there any question that the events of the past year and a half or longer have caused tensions and divisions in families and in relationships? Any question? So as a result, some people struggle finding reasons to be grateful. So that's why it's crucial for us, for you and me, as followers of Jesus Christ, to point our hearts to God's word on the topic of thankfulness and gratitude as the foundation of this Thanksgiving season. I just want to suggest today that today begin your Thanksgiving week. Have a week of Thanksgiving. Start now and begin to give praise to God and thanks to God and remember all of the good things that have happened in your life. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances. What? For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances. Notice the word in here, the preposition all circumstances, not for all circumstances. You notice that? Some people have confused that. I'm supposed to be grateful for all of this stuff? No. In it. You're in it. You're in the midst of it. Be thankful to God anyway. This isn't about legalistic forced practices of some kind. Okay, I have to make myself rejoice. That's a contradiction, isn't it? I'm going to make myself rejoice. It's a contradiction. Rejoicing comes from the core of your being and is expressed outward naturally when you have something that brings joy to you. This is about deciding in our deciders to choose to be grateful. God would never want us to be thankful for the hurtful or the evil or the mean things of the world, but instead calls us to be especially thankful in such times as this. Why? Because in this world, this isn't heaven yet, right? This is the earth. Bad things are happening. They're going to happen. It's just the way the earth is. It's not heaven yet. It's not where all this is, all the bad stuff's put to rest. It's far from perfect. In this world, you will have tribulation, Jesus said. So this is one of the things I love about the gospel. It's honest. The world's going to be hard at times. Listen to what he says. John 16:33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage, be of good cheer." And King James, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So this is about being in him and not in the world. The world has been taken over by him slowly, piece by piece, in my life. Is he the focus? Am I in him? This is the great thing about Jesus' teaching. He calls the gospel. He calls it the good news. The good news deals with the real and not the fake kind of positivity that some people rightly call hypocrisy, that fake, you know, fakeianity, you know, this I'm going to pretend. It's not about pretending. It's about accepting and acknowledging who God is. It's not about denying the reality of the difficult or even the horrible, but knowing that God will prevail ultimately. So Jesus exhorts us to be of good cheer, to choose courage. Folks, if we choose to be positive, full of faith and trust in God, giving thanks in our circumstances and not for them, this goes a long way toward the healing of our hearts and the hurts in this life. Why do some people go through hell in this world and come out smiling? You know people like that? They just go through, their circumstances are terrible, but they're happy and smiling and positive, and they drive me crazy. It's not fair that you have to go through this and you're happy. I don't want to be, if that's happening to me, I don't want to be happy. I don't. Right? The child in me, it's like, no. Some people go through hell and they come out smiling, and we've all known folks who have every reason to be miserable and they're not. What's their secret? It's their focus. Their focus isn't on what they've lost, it's on the blessings that they've had. With the knowledge that God is at work, that God isn't done with us, and that God wants us to be blessed. Ultimately, that's his goal. He wants our happiness, literally, our eternal happiness. Now, some of you might be thinking right about now, Gary, I'm not sure you know what you're talking about. Look around. Really, God wants our happiness? Look around, Gary. Look at the last almost 2 years of this. God wants our happiness? Allow me to add to that. Your focus.